Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on 6:30 every evening, Monday to Friday. And you will be at a show which is not a politically correct show. Is it a politically incorrect show where we try to get the truth and the facts and hit the where the show is where the rubber hits the road. It is not where we tread around with political rhetoric, media lies, media falsehoods, etc. This show, and I don't think in that way because I don't find that mode of thinking useful or helpful or even true. So, second thing is I'm a Christian, and I make no bones about it. When I say I'm a Christian, I follow the ancient creeds of the Church, the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian creeds fully and completely in their doctrinal basis, and I follow Holy Scripture as a full authority to my life. I believe these are the historical positions of the Church for 2,000 years, and I'm not a fundamentalist. I'm not backward. I'm merely adhering to the beliefs of the Church for the past 2,000 years, which really haven't changed much. The people have sought to change it into something else than it is, but it's not going to work. Church is not the state. It's different. It has different rules. It has different things constituting it. The second thing, third thing is I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, 3 Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, which has sold well in the entire University of California, and 4 Dutch universities, as well as Harvard, and, of course, Marburg in Germany, and a Swiss university in Switzerland. And I also wrote a book called Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, which has also sold well to Ivy League schools, including the University of Pennsylvania and Harvard. And I've written a book on the parables, which is also sold well. It's my interpretations of the 41 parables in the Gospels. I have placed these interpretations on my website and social media for those who are interested in these interpretations. I'm presently interpreting the various sayings of Christ as found in the Gospels and placing them for your edification, ladies and gentlemen, on the on my social media and website. I run 2 radio shows, a Blog Talk show with this show and the podcast show, which reaches people from 76 countries. Over 4,000 people have listened to these podcasts, and many people from all over the world listen to this Blog Talk radio show, including Saudi Arabia, United Kingdom, Finland, Germany, Russia, Malaysia, Indonesia, etc., anywhere you might want to, India and Bangladesh and Pakistan. So, this is not a matter of pushing my own envelope, but merely informing you that these 2 radio shows have quite a wide reach. And they are Christian orientation. The radio shows have Christian orientation. I'm most happy that my dear Muslim brothers and sisters and my Chinese agnostics and atheists, possibly, maybe they're not. They might be Christians or something else. They do visit these shows and websites regularly. My blogs also have a Christian orientation and have been visited by many Muslims and people from all over the world, including China, an agnostic atheist society. And finally, I have written over 500 blogs or essays, and they have a Christian orientation and been visited by many people from many countries all over the world. And most recently, 2 of my articles on the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure has been bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. And my book on Academicus has also been bought by the State Department. I'm also happy to say recently I've been nominated and asked to be a world-class speaker in a world law organization, World Law Alliance, to speak every month throughout the world to a worldwide audience. I'm very happy about that, that my knowledge and has been seen as appropriate for being a speaker in a world law organization, which reaches the entire 80 countries all over the world. So that will soon be my task in the next month or so, every month, to do this lecture, which I'm very happy to be asked to do. And now I'm going to talk about, not in this show, I've talked about literature as one of the topics I handle in this show, politics. I have been a backer of President Trump. I thought he was a good president. And theology and religion. These topics, current events, politics, philosophy, religion, and literature, English literature specifically, such as Joseph Conrad and Jane Austen, have been, I have handled these in this show. Tonight, I'm going to talk about something that I think you people will find of interest, and I'm going to give you an analysis of some aspects of our dear American culture. I love this country, I love this culture, but this particular essay, I seek to take a look at it, certain aspects of it. There are certain positive aspects to our culture. America is regarded by many people as a Christian society, although members of other religions such as Islam and Hinduism and have come to this country and be absorbed. But America was regarded by many people as a Christian society, and in some way, there is a sort of connection with Christianity. For example, for American society, there's a form of social equality. There's no class. We don't have really overt class distinctions, thank God. And in that sense, we are closer to the Christian ideal. That is to say, the less affluent and poor person is treated in America with the same response as the rich person gains. So, that's good, because social equality and lack of class over class distinctions are a Christian ideal, I think. So we treat the poor person and the less affluent and the affluent people with the same respect. It could be this social equality may be a facade, but is better than a class-ridden culture and closer to the gospel and to the Christian message. So, I have to say, we believe we have a facade of social equality, a lack of class distinctions, which is closer to the gospel message. But also, American culture accepts all kinds of people, races, cultures, and religions. We're not critical. We're accepting of others, whoever they may be. And I have to say, once again, this acceptance of other sorts of people, races, cultures, and religions is more of a Christian form of behavior than excluding people from the social system based on race or religion or culture or whatever. We don't exclude people on that basis. We accept them, various races, cultures, and religions, not critically. And I think this is certainly more a Christian form of behavior than excluding people from the social system based on race or culture or religion. And once again, this is a lack of overt class structure. It and involves a general acceptance of others as they may present themselves. So there's lack of an overt class structure, and accept most others are accepted as they present themselves to our society. And I think it's not so much a Christian attribute, it stems from the political quality in the American system that's based on one man, one vote. That is to say, the vote of the rich man is the same as that of the poor man in forming the government, whether local, state, or federal. So, this lack of overt class structure, although it is a Christian attribute and accepts others without criticism, stems from our political quality in our system based on one man, one vote, the idea being that the rich man and the poor man have the same right and role in forming the government. But I want to say, yes, this social equality and lack of critical criticism, acceptance of others, is close to the gospel and a Christian society, but there are other aspects of our culture that is counter to this. For example, our society is very much geared to money and business and gaining in the acquisition of material wealth. This is not the Christian perspective at all, really. Certainly Jesus does not endorse materialism as a goal and money. He says quite the opposite. This is not the Christian perspective, this emphasis on money. But Christianity, in its thought system, in some sense, rejects materialism and even embraces poverty rather than the acquisition of material wealth. Jesus talks in positive terms about poverty. He doesn't mean destitution, I don't think, but he means an equal distribution of wealth for all people. I think that's Jesus' goal and the goals of Christian thinking. He says the poor in spirit or humble are blessed. He says the meek will inherit the earth. He says it's extremely difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He says it's very hard. And in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, he says the failure of the rich man to help that poor man condemned him to eternal death and suffering. So Jesus doesn't have too many good things to say about getting rich. He says the poor are blessed or humble, the poor in spirit are blessed. And I think that the Christian thought system does not lay preference to acquiring a lot of material wealth. It is not a materialistic system, but in some sense embraces poverty by the things I just mentioned. So the emphasis on American culture on wealth and materialism is really quite contrary to Christian thinking. Jesus doesn't really recommend this. I think he wants an equal distribution of wealth. Doesn't want people poor, but he doesn't want people dedicated to mammon and materialism. So let's take a look at some other examples about this. When the rich man came to Christ in the Gospels and asked what he had to do to be perfect, he was told to give up his goods. This emphasis on poverty in the Christian belief system, that's an example of it, is best understood when we understand that in the Roman Catholic Church, the monastic orders involve the taking of vows of poverty. This is also true of the religious orders of men and women who also take a vow of poverty in the Roman Catholic Church. So, the monastic orders in the Roman Catholic Church involve the taking of a vow of poverty, and that's true of religious orders of men and women who also take a vow of poverty in the Roman Catholic Church. They don't take a vow of destitution, but they do say that they should reject materialism. And for many hundreds of years, there was a great movement of people embracing this alternative lifestyle and choice of embracing poverty. And in some sense, Jesus himself came down to us in poverty from the glory of heaven. And he did not have a great deal of money. He apparently didn't have a source of income. So he embraced poverty himself. So we have to look at also the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Not only where the rich man came to Christ and asked what he had to do to be perfect and was told to give up his goods, but the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And Lazarus again pushes us to realize that we should help people when we have the opportunity who are in poverty. This emphasis on commerce and money and business is not a Christian valuation at all. Now, money isn't bad, but Jesus says that is not something we should make an idol and make it our goal. And now I want to talk about a second aspect of American culture that I have a little bit of trouble with as a Christian. That is the matter of advertising and celebrities. There's a great emphasis on advertising celebrities, whoever these celebrities are. I don't know how they get their pictures in these magazines. Maybe they pay for it. But they're seen as celebrities, and Christians' belief system does not emphasize celebrities and advertising people is great, but emphasizes humility, not self-importance. So this advertising and raising up people as celebrities who are dressed fantastically well and look good, I think is quite opposed and contrary to the Christian position about humility and lack of self-importance. So these aspects of American culture I've identified as non-Christian, which is the advertising of celebrities and our emphasis on business and money, they have their origin in the commercial system in our country with its emphasis on money and business. Better put, people in the United States are measured by their success in the market, how much money they have. So these two latter aspects of American culture I've identified as non-Christian, whether the emphasis on commerce and money or advertising and celebrities, have their origin in the capitalist commercial system with its emphasis on money and business. Or better put, people are measured in the United States by their success, financial success. But I think Christianity and Christians and Christ measure people differently. I'm making this point only to identify the Christian values that are present in our society and the non-Christian concepts that should be examined by the church and addressed as not particularly helpful as to how people should function. So I think the lack of social class and humility and lack of social distinctions is good, and it is a kind of a Christian value, but there are non-Christian concepts such as advertising, celebrity, and the tremendous emphasis on money and that money where we in our country miss a great deal of thinking that could make a better society for us all. So, yes, there are Christian concepts such as lack of class distinctions and lack of a form of social equality and accepting of other people, not being critical. These are essentially good things and Christian values, but there are non-Christian concepts in our system that should be examined and analyzed as not particularly helpful as to how people should function. That is to say, this emphasis on money and advertising, which misses a great deal of the ideas and thoughts that could make a better society for us all. What's my conclusion here? Well, ladies and gentlemen, there will never be a Christian society because of the inherent imperfection of human nature as a result of sin. That imperfection will never be eradicated except on an individual basis through transformation with a relationship with Christ and his church. Yes, there will never be a Christian society, I can guarantee that, because people on human nature has a sinful and broken character, and that brokenness and imperfection will never be eradicated except on an individual basis through transformation with a relationship with Christ and his church. Nevertheless, I am addressing these particular issues here to point out to you, hopefully, helpfully, certainly inherent philosophical failings in American culture of advertising, celebrity, and the emphasis on money that should have perhaps be changed or redirected or reformed. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk, and you can find the basis for this little lecture in Chapter 55, entitled Some Aspects of American Culture, found in my book, Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy. I think you'll find it interesting. And when you have a chance to read it, your ability to reflect and think will be greater. I hope I've led you to some truth here and helped you a bit in thinking. My thinking isn't perfect. I always want to improve it and make it sharper and make it more honest and take a look at myself and my thoughts appropriately and identify where they're wrong and where they may be right. But I know well that I share the gross imperfection of human nature that all of us share as fallen beings. So, I hope you've enjoyed this show and have gained some knowledge from it. Again, I ask you to look at Chapter 55, Some Aspects of American Culture, in my book, Essays on Faith, Poetry, Politics, and Philosophy. I think you'll find it enlightening, because when you read something and take the time to read it, your mind will be more effectively able to understand and absorb it. It's one of the problems today when people don't read, their minds are not engaged, and they're able to think less and understand less and put fewer of the dots together. I repeat, the centrality of reading to an effectively intellectualized society is critical. People must read, and they must read the books that are going to help them, whether Tolstoy, Dostoevsky, Conrad, or Jane Austen. Read the books. They're going to point you the way to truth and discerning thinking. Read, read, read. And take your children to the library. Get them a library card. Take them to Barnes & Noble and take them to the Barnes & Noble Classics section and have them read those books and not miss out on those great thinkers. The work of the past in literature and philosophy and theology is irreplaceable and must be continually read again and again by future generations to come, whoever, wherever they may be placed in the world at some point. They should and must read these books to develop as persons effectively. Or better put, we stand on the shoulders of the past, and when we don't look down from our pedestal in the present to the from our shoulders to the past, we are deprived and have lost our way. Okay, have a good night. I hope you've enjoyed this talk.